we know. Second verse.
Should finish it tonight. The vanity of today's mind. We're asking about why is it that people don't get what they need to get when it's so obvious of what's going on. Whether it be New World or whether it be coming out of a Bible college or just reading a Bible, being a Bible believer and not understanding about rightly dividing the obviousness of Paul. And why is it when we read Timothy and Titus we still don't understand some things in our life? Why is modesty, the language, the roles of a husband, wife, the children, how do we do these things? Why is it still seems to be such a mystery when the Bible is in our hands and God gave us that which is perfect? It's done, it's complete. There it is. Then why is it still, why do we all have such a hard time? And here's a quick review of the first session. We did a short one here. It talked about how the Jews have made the minds to be evil affected of the brethren. So we've got people out there that pick at us, and they pressure us, until where we finally, our mind is evil affected. They control our thoughts by the gossip and the things they talk about. We talked about feeble-minded. We're supposed to comfort the feeble-minded, but we also talked about those Christians who are lazy and selfish and waiting for Jesus to be the magic God to do things for them, or let the brethren do things for them, so they're purposely feeble-minded. They kind of play dumb, like, I don't know what to do. That's not necessary. We talked this morning about the high-minded. You'd be high-minded. A little bit more beyond the pride element. We're high-minded if we forget that this is all because the Jews have stumbled over. We are told to live peaceably with all men, but Paul does put in if it be possible. So we need to be able to be like-minded if at all possible. And if it's not possible, avoid them, get away. That's what he says, so that's there. There's a problem with high-mindedness if we're trusting in riches, because the more riches you have, the more high-minded you can become, and he calls them uncertain riches. We see that it's a characteristic, one of the characteristics as we draw near to the tribulation, that's high-mindedness, so it's going to get on the increase, there's going to be more of it. We talked about being a Ruckmanite or a Hilesite or a Landmarkist or a Baptist or a following some person's teachings. Paulsonite, I've heard that, believe it or not, I've heard that stated. Following the guy's teachings. No, you follow the Bible rightly divided. And a lot of people are following a person's teachings, and that brings up high-mindedness, because it won't change because Dr. Somebody says, well, this is the way it's supposed to be. We talked about our own selfishness. Our life is more important to us than his. And we did make the comment that zeal is not being high-minded. We are to have a zealous. We're supposed to be excited and get out there with some assurance and boldness, and don't let that be taken as high-mindedness, although they may think of that. We looked a little bit at being fleshly puffed-up mind, and it talked about worshiping angels, and it talked about voluntary humility. They lower themselves because they really believe they're higher than you, And when you find out who they're worshiping in the Great Commission or any other teaching, they're actually worshiping angels. He talks about that one. And he says that you need to follow the head, and they don't follow the head. So there's that, Christ being the head of the church. Then we mentioned quickly the blindness, the blinded minds this morning, blinded by the devil. There is a need for plainness of speech because people are blinded. And when you want to tell somebody who's blind what you're trying to see, you don't give them all sorts of variations. You be very specific and help them see. So plainness of speech is necessary. We talked about how the Bible shows us that there's still Old Testament veil over people's eyes. They can't see anything that's lost. We know that the devil steals the words in the Gospels. He stole the words that were heard, that were spoken. And today we know that he has stolen the words of the Bible. They've got 400 different Bible versions out there. Everyone but the King James Bible. Then we talked about how flattery blinds our children. And we've grown up flattered, and we're dealing with those kind of people. And then we finish up with a reprobate mind based on Romans chapter 1. Rice said in the notes quickly, I didn't do it this morning, but I put it up there for tonight. Their gooner is a goner. I like that. I just have to remember that. Their gooner is a goner. It's like you can't even reach them. But there's still the dispensation of grace, and they still could be if they wanted to learn. You can't teach somebody if they don't want to learn. Parents say, amen. That's really true. And it's really frustrating to wait till you're 50 and 60 to want to learn. I think we should just wait for school till you're around 40 or 50. Is that okay with you guys? We'll just stop right now when you get to be 40. Grandma Marcy will bring you back into school, and you start learning the stuff you really want to learn. So there has to be a desire. And then we know that Paul talks about the things that what we want to learn is doctrine, God's doctrine, correction, and instruction in righteousness. And if you don't want to learn those three things, then you're not going to get this stuff. And that's what most people are out there, not wanting to be corrected. They think that their way is fine. There's no instruction needed for righteousness. And it does talk about reproof as well. And we know that the King James Bible is the Word of God. It needs to be rightly divided, and there will be no need for private interpretation, because it just is plain as day. Now, let's finish up with some more things tonight. This is number 6, if you're actually taking notes or can copy them later. And let's go here to Galatians chapter 5. This is number 6 in our notes here. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. This is another issue we deal with people's minds, reminding ourselves that the vanity of the mind is what a lost person lives by, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 through 20, I think it is, 20 and 21. And we can be the same way unless we read our King James Bible, then we don't have to think like a lost person. Most Christians are thinking like a lost person anymore, if they're even a Christian at all. Galatians chapter 5, verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord, that ye will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And we're talking here about somebody who just doesn't, they're just otherwise minded than what's being taught or what God has to say. If we look back at verse 6, for in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision. So it doesn't matter, Jew or Gentile. What you need is you need faith. Faith in Christ gives you the faith of Christ. And as a result of that, we won't be otherwise minded. And that's the problem. So let's look at a few examples of otherwise minded. 1 Thessalonians. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 15. So we're working with people, we're witnessing to people, or we're being around people, or family, or relatives, or street people in their case, or whatever, and they're otherwise minded. And it says here in 1 Thessalonians 2:15, talking about the Jews there, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and they please not God, and are contrary to all men. It's talking, referring to the Jews there during his time. And we have people today that are just contrary. Why? They're just going to be. In this day, they killed their Messiah. They killed their own prophet. People that were telling them things. They killed Stephen, and they were after Paul all the time. And they persecuted people that were preaching Paul's gospel. And they didn't please God. They were not desirous to please God. and it says they're contrary. They're contrary. Look at Romans 16. We're going to be talking to people who are going to be contrary. That's just what they do. Verse 16, chapter 16, verse 17. Now, these people who are otherwise minded or walking contrary, we have a commandment here. Now, I beseech you, brethren, and mark them which cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Here's one of those avoid verses, and avoid them. So these people are otherwise minded. There comes a time where we need to avoid them because they're contrary. They cause divisions. They're causing problems. And I still believe that if we as Bible believers, even out here in these neck of the woods where there just isn't that many friends and family, if we still were to somehow obey those scriptures and avoid those that are contrary to Paul's teachings, we try to show them the things. What does it say? We've got grace, we've got truth, we've got mercy, we've got long-suffering, patience. But if there's prayer and there's tears, there's rebuke and reproof, then comes the avoid. Has to be done someday. Now, we can hang on to the grace as long as we want, but if we're not putting truth in that conversation, you're getting yourself into a mess. And if you don't know what to do, how do we do this, how do we do that, get away. That's what we're supposed to do. Anyway, so there are those who are walking contrary to Paul's teachings. Look at back at Galatians again. Going back to Galatians chapter 5. These are those that are otherwise minded. I mean, they're just not looking to Paul. They're just not looking to the risen Savior. They're contrary. And they're walking contrary. Galatians chapter 5, verse 17. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So again, we have an otherwise minded application here. We've got those that are contrary one to the other, and it's the flesh and the Spirit. Now we know that Paul's battle is a flesh and a mind issue. But we still have an issue with the flesh and the Spirit of God trying to lead us to walk His way. That's where we come up with quenching the Spirit. That's where we come up with grieving the Spirit of God. Because he can't leave. So, that's a contrary issue. And just imagine the otherwise mindedness of today's modern Christianity, which is feeding the flesh with music. The sermons are so fleshy, flattery. The way that they... It's just flesh. They're going towards the flesh element for the tribulation. Just imagine how much of a grief that causes the Lord to know where this is going. Because it quenches the Spirit because the flesh is lusting against the Spirit. So we're going to have people that are going to be fleshy, and you've got the Spirit of God, you've got the Spirit of God in this Bible, and is it any wonder that they don't want you if you're going to have anything to do with the King James rightly divided Bible following the risen Savior through Paul? Is it going to be any wonder they don't want the King James Bible? The Spirit that is in us and is in this book is going to go against their what? Flesh. And they're going to hate it. So we have to deal with that. These guys, Jason's told me a couple instances where people drive up in their car while they're on their corners handing out tracts and showing banners and things, and they pull up and they screech up and they yell, scream all sorts of crazy things and flash their body and stuff, and they say they're Christians. It's an amazing thing. So these guys are up against the flesh. And yet, if it gets to be a point, he does say to avoid that if it gets to be such a problem. That's why I do encourage those guys not to haul their children to that thing, because their children don't need to see that flesh battle. It's a tough place. Let's look at Titus. Titus. Titus chapter 2. We're looking at being otherwise minded. There's people out there that they're just contrary to everything we represent. Everything that we say, everything that we believe, everything that we preach, everything that you stand for within your home, they come over and they're actually very contrary to what you have within your home. Should you adjust your home to it so they can come over and hear the truth? Well, what's Paul's teachings about the church? Do we adjust the church so the lost people that are contrary to everything Paul preaches, do we change all that so they come in? No. Why not? Scripture shows us why we shouldn't. Why do we for our homes, for our children? Titus, chapter 2, verse 8. Sound speech, talking about the showing thyself a pattern of good works, one of them is sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. It's sad still that we become ashamed that we believe in Paul and preach Paul and teach Paul, and we don't say some of the things that we should say, and because they're contrary, but they're supposed to be the ones that, when they come here, they should actually, it's not our attempt, it's not Paul's desire to shame somebody. He says he wants to warn them. But if they fight this thing, there should be a shame, but it's not us. Remember a couple years ago, we had the Whitman College religion class come here? Remember those days? And that one kid said, you know, I don't agree with them, but those people really believe what they preach and what they teach, and they really believe that. They really think we're going to hell. That's why they came to the school to tell us. That guy was very impressed with that. He didn't believe it, didn't get saved whatsoever, but he saw that, you know, if you believe this, then you're real, you really care. So that was good. And then the teachers, remember the professor, wrote me an email and said, you know, boy, it would sure be much simpler if there was only one Bible. And he's a professor. These guys make too much money for this. It's just amazing. I'm in the wrong business. Whatever. No, I'm not. Okay, so there's sound speech that cannot be condemned. He that is of the contrary part may be ashamed. They're supposed to be the ones to shame, not us. And then look at 1 Timothy chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Verse 25. But in order for 25 to make sense, we need to read 24. Some men's sins are opened beforehand, going before to judgment. Some men they follow after. There is such thing as a perfect crime, till you die. But then the other half of that is likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand. And they that are otherwise cannot be hid. So there is an otherwise element that we have to be aware of. Look at Leviticus, by the way. Look at Leviticus of all places. Leviticus 26. I'm going to show you something here. Leviticus 26, that's right before Galatians. Oops. Now we'll just go by time again. 9 o'clock, we'll be done by 9 o'clock. Leviticus chapter 26, verse 21. Keep in mind all these people that are contrary. Keep in mind whenever we've been contrary as we learn these things. What do you mean that doesn't mean born again? It sure does. You're being contrary to the Scriptures. Now let me show you something. Anyway, Leviticus 26, verse 21, it says here, and if you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring 7 times more plagues upon you according to your sins. 4. This is good that we're not in the... Where do you go? No, not the rapture. Oh, phew. Man, I was really going to be bummed. One guy and Louie. Okay, whew, man. I didn't see any mess in the chair there, so I figured that couldn't be the rapture there. Look at Philippians 3:15. So, yeah, you can end up in the Old Testament. Boy, you'd end up a whole lot worse off when you went against what God would teach you. That's grace today. Philippians chapter 3, verse 15. I said, I don't really believe that many are going to go up during the rapture, but I thought a few more than that. Anyway. Philippians 3:15. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, again, complete. We want to get complete. We want to have God to show us all that we can take here. And said, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal this even unto you. So you don't have to be otherwise minded. God would be glad to show these people what would be God's way. What is a more excellent way? The way of God more perfectly. Same thing with us. Where we are otherwise minded. I'll go back to Jason again. I'll pick on him a little bit. Every time he's called, I've thrown something at him that we know that we've learned differently from the Great Commission teaching. And he would go, whoa, wait a minute. What do you mean? He would find out that he was otherwise minded, and he's teaching people otherwise minded, and he finds out what it is to be minded in the same mind and the same thing what's being taught here. And he was willing. It was revealed unto him through the Bible, not through me. And so we have an opportunity to to wherever you are otherwise minded. He's trying really hard not to say you must be born again in the streets. He's telling you, you need to be quickened. You need to be made alive with a risen Savior. So that's exciting to see people hear stuff and make those changes along those lines especially. So, yes, we can be otherwise minded, but we need to change that thing and be reversed on that whole. So it's possible. 1 Timothy chapter 6. There's 1 Timothy chapter 6. I've got to meet these other guys someday, I hope. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3. Now, we've been this before. This is for Betty, this is repetition, but she'll get it as we go through, as we get it over and over. This is the place in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 3, 4, and 5 that tells us what God thinks of Bible correctors that change His words. This is really, and these are nice people. We have a lot of nice people that we know that change the words of God. So, whatever, here's what God thinks of them. If any man teach otherwise, up to verse 2 there, and consent not to wholesome words, that's the other half of the deal, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, that's not the length of hair and the skirt length and the tennis shoe, you know, that kind of a thing. It's not what it's talking about there. Here's what he says about these people. They're proud. They're knowing nothing, doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings. It gets harder here. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. Supposing that gain is godliness, boy, that sure exposes them, doesn't it? From such withdraw thyself. So, we stay away from their churches. So, we stay away from their videos. So, we stay away from their books. So, we stay away from them. Anything they have to do with, because they are otherwise minded. They're teaching otherwise. That's too easy. But anyway, let's do another one. This is number 7. Number 6 was otherwise minded. Number 7. Here we go. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. What are we dealing with? And we try to get people to see what they need to see. We have lost people that understand the new world order is coming around. They just don't understand that it's in Revelation. They don't understand what's really being prepared here. So what do we have? You'll see here in that people are, the mind here is called an enemy in their own mind. They're an enemy in their own mind. And what that would be a lost person. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, I'll show you here. Then at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. And look at Colossians. We're talking here about a lost person. A lost person isn't going to understand this stuff. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now He hath reconciled. So what were we before we got saved? Says right there. Alienated and enemies in our mind by wicked works. Now, what have we got? We've got, look at Romans chapter 8. We have a situation where before many of us were saved, you were probably a pretty good person. You probably did an awful lot of good things and that sort of a thing. Helped a lot of people. Probably brought up to be a Christian. Probably brought up in a Christian lifestyle somewhat. And read this verse in Romans chapter 8. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. So we have a wicked mind. We have an enemy in our mind. Our mind is our enemy. We have wicked works. And those good works are still wicked works because they're still full of sin. The sin is still attached to the flesh, to the works. Look at Colossians 2 again. Look at Colossians 2. So we're talking with people out there that are good people, doing well, possibly financially successful, possibly not. Good heart about them. Just philanthropists, I think the word is. It just came to my mind. I could never spell that for you. And they really do well. And you when you tell somebody that, do you believe that Betty Jean would be going to hell? I mean, she's a good lady. Well, according to the scripture, she would. But you got to be kidding. She is such a nice lady. She has a strong faith. She's been to church all her life. She's done. She always thinks of other people. And the list goes on and on. But they don't realize that there's sin in there. And those works, if they're still in their sins, if they still haven't confessed Christ as their Savior, then it's nothing. And there's that enemies in your mind by wicked works. The mind is actually still the enemy. Colossians chapter 2, verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. That still needs to take place. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Just back probably one flip. Colossians 1, 23. We may be talking to somebody who fits this verse. If you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. What do you mean if you continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away? Some people quit. They don't want to hear this anymore. That's the difficulty I have with some folks, especially the younger folks. They've been brought up with Great Commission. They've been brought up with power of prayer. They've been brought up with miracles and God answering prayers. And then they're finding out in their life that it really doesn't happen. It really didn't happen then either, in so many ways. And they get away. They pull away. They move away from the hope of the gospel. They don't believe it anymore. Well, if they're truly saved, the Lord will still work on them over time. But what if they're not? Those are people we're trying to talk to. That's tough. That's a hard one. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. This is number 8. So we have people who are otherwise minded, and we have the people that are an enemy in their own mind. They're just not going to see it. They're not going to see it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, that means good or bad, sneaky or obvious, whatever, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Rightly dividing this Bible will actually show people out there that this Bible is very simple to understand. But if you've got to go to school to learn all the different verses and all the different ways of putting these verses, it gets very complicated. And we try to talk to these people who have been educated. It's really hard because they got so much stuff in there. Now, the word corrupt, here we go, to change from a sound to a putrid state, to separate the component parts of a body as by a natural process which accompanied by a fetid smell. That's corrupt. And in all reality, a spiritual stink is what it is. To deprave, to change from good to bad, to waste, spoil, or consume, to defile, to pollute, to entice from good and allure to evil, to pervert, to make void, to pervert or vitiate integrity, just destroy that integrity, to render impure, to falsify, to infect with errors. Our minds can be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And I believe it comes from wrongly dividing and an education. Sometimes it's formal education. It just corrupts our minds. Now, with that in mind, look at Ephesians chapter 4. It is so important for a parent to teach the proper education to our children. And that's always debatable. What does that mean, proper education? Now, I think boys ought to be taught to be men and girls ought to be taught to be ladies. But we'll get into that tonight. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. There you go, Jason. Shut up. Right there. There's your verse. We talked about that earlier. Let no corrupt communications proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And then Corinthians, we know this verse, be not deceived. Evil communications what? corrupt good manners. And our children are being put in front of evil communications almost daily. So please don't get mad at them when they do only what they've ever been taught by a video or a TV program or a game or a relative or even your own example. Corrupt communications out of our mouth. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. We're still talking about corrupt. Corrupt. There are corrupt minds out there. They're corrupted. Ephesians 4:22. That's the place where it talks about putting off concerning the former conversation the old man. That's the old nature, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. So our old nature, our old man is corrupt. He's filthy. He's polluted. He wants us to get into the evil. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 17. These are also people we deal with. These people have been stirred up against the King James Bible. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God, but as of sincerity. But as of God, in the sight of God, speak we in Christ. And that again would be Paul speaking about the risen Savior. So we're dealing with corruptness. They've been corrupted in their mind. Their mind is complicated. They don't understand the simplicity, so they're corrupted. They've been fed corrupt communications for years. You know there's stuff in the news today that would never even been in the news. Even if it was news, they wouldn't have talked about it on the radio or the program. They just won't talk about that stuff. So there's corrupt communications. Everybody has to deal with the old man. So if those people are lost, then they're being led by this old man who's corrupt. And then we have those that have corrupted the Word of God. They've been taught corrupted Word of God. These are people we're trying to talk to. No wonder it's so hard, huh? And then lastly, number 9, let's go here to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Number 9. What did I say? Romans 7, number 9. Okay. Romans chapter 7, number 9. Okay, Romans chapter 7. Let's stop with the number 9 stuff. Romans chapter 7. Speaking of gooners being goners, it's headed that way. Verse 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. Why? Because he's carnal. We are on this earth, we're in our physical body. Carnal means this. Pertaining to the flesh, lustful, given to sensual indulgence. Sensual. Sensual. So as we get more into the flesh in religion, which we've seen musically, and we get more into the flesh when it comes to how they do the church services and how they're teaching, and the Bibles are rewritten to appease to their flesh, and flattery appeals to the flesh, that sort of a thing. As we see that happening, look at Jude. Which is a tribulation book. But as we see the emphasis on the flesh more and more in churches, the music that people sing in their churches wouldn't take much to make it fleshy here, which it wouldn't take hard at all to do something like that. We see in Jude that during the tribulation, it says in verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's that Great Commission stuff, see? How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves sensual, feely, carnal, pleasing the flesh. And if you ever pay attention to music in the last years, the music, other than being really, really hard rock, that type of thing, it also can be very sensual. And that's taking place. So what we see here, what he's warning about the carnal mind, being fleshly minded, that was actually headed towards the tribulation. Again, where's that verse that talks about the Spirit of God upon their flesh? Acts chapter 2, 16 to 19. So, you see my point here? There's going to be more carnality. There's going to be more flesh involved in church, in Bible studies, in videos, in Bible videos, music, dressing. How do you appear? How do you present yourself? How do you talk? What makes you happy? What pleases you? What's fun? It'll have to be more and more fleshy, sensual. That's where it's headed. We go back to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So we're dealing with people who have a carnal mind. All they think about are fleshy things. And that's where we're headed in this tribulation, is a fleshy religion, fleshy lifestyle. What goes on within our homes to make everybody happiest? Probably fleshy things. Look at Romans chapter 15. So we're talking with people whose mind is just against God. It isn't that they're going to love what you told them. They're against this stuff. Their flesh is against it. Romans chapter 15, verse 27. Not all carnality is really bad, though, because look at this verse in Romans 15, verse 27. It hath pleased them verily, and their debtors they are. For if the Gentiles have been made partakers of their spiritual things, that's the Jew, says their duty is also to minister unto them in carnal things. We can actually help those people out in the flesh, physically, carnally. We still need it. We still are there to take care of them. And I would tend to say that this is more important verse than to go way back to Genesis for America taking care of Israel. Because if it wasn't for the Gentiles doing, or the Jews doing what they have done, we would have never been given the Bible to the Gentiles. We would never have the grace that God has given to the Gentiles. We would never have Paul come our way. And America would never come along as far as any Bible religious kind of a nation. And here America is taking care of Israel, gives them a lot of money. From what I hear, Obama's already pulling the plugs on a lot of money that we're just not going to give them anymore. So, to me, this is a more important verse than it is to way back in Genesis. Because if it wasn't for them, we wouldn't be where we are. So we need to keep sending them money and missiles and ammo and the whole thing. And the news yesterday, Netanyahu, or whatever his...
Netanyahu.
Netanyahu? No, there's the name. Netanyahu said Iran will not have nuclear capabilities. See, I like that kind of talk. That's good. But we ought to be the ones to supply him with this stuff. I also read in that same article that we have already supplied the Fatahs, or whatever those... Fatahs, the which are enemy to Israel. I don't understand this stuff. Yeah, we're going to make money off whoever. They're going to make a war. We'll just sell both sides the stuff, and we'll make all this money. And God's going to go, whoa, you know, I'm really getting tired of this. So whatever. Whatever's going to take place will take place. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll finish this up here tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. We find out, obviously we know this already, that our weapons, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Okay, verse 3 says, okay, so we walk in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. Our weapons aren't carnal. So why do I have a gun right here and a gun under here? Because if somebody comes in here, we need to protect ourselves. Physically, we're on this earth. Here we are. This is a carnal world, carnal life, carnal guns. But our protection is from God and our Bible, spiritual things. But we also find out that, you know, we can pray all we want, and that's not necessarily going to keep people out of this carnal world. So that's why we have these things. That's okay. But our weapons for the spiritual warfare are not carnal. So we're not going to go to war over this stuff. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. It could just go on as a bunch of verses. No, Hebrews 4, 12 and 13. The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. You know, you can fight people off. They're going to come and take your Bible. You can shoot if you want, but you just get another one. Or memorize it in your heart. Or whatever. I was telling somebody today that this church building, this church that we have here, is not the church that the gates of hell were prevailing. They're going to have this place someday. It's the body of Christ. So the carnal thing can be really taken out of context, but don't forget that we are talking to people who are fleshly minded, carnally minded. Now, review this thing really quick. These are the people we try to tell people what we try to tell them what's going on. We're trying to get them to see what's going on. These are people that have had their minds evil affected. These are people that choose to be feeble minded. They don't want what's true. These are people that are high minded. They've forgotten about the importance of the Jews. They're trusting in uncertain riches. They're living a life of fleshliness. They're heading for the tribulation. It's just where they're headed. And they're happy with it. They're voting it in. We're talking about people who are selfish. We're talking about those that have a voluntary humility. They're lowering themselves, even though they think they're higher than we are. And they worship angels. False angels. Fallen angels. The devil. It mentioned in there that they have no idea what really is going on. Talks about that in that section. We're talking with people that have blinded minds. They're blinded by the devil. They're blinded by an Old Testament veil. They're blinded because they're lost. They're blinded because the words of God have been taken away from them. They've been blinded by flattery. We're talking to people who are reprobate mind. Their mind is gone. And they enjoy doing as perverted wickedness as they possibly can with themselves. Opposites, perverted. It's a disaster. God says, poof, that mind's just going to go. Got their reprobate mind to deal with. We've got those that are otherwise minded. They aren't just going to get it. They walk contrary to everything you stand for, at least your Bible. It can be reversed, but they have to want to learn, and they have to want to rightly divide. They have to want to learn that stuff. They've been taught by correctors, and people have a perverted mind, corrupt mind. We're talking to people who are an enemy in their own mind. They have been taught what they've been taught, and it's contrary, and it makes them an enemy because of their wicked works. Even their good works are considered wicked works because of the sin that's there. And it's not just because they're sinning, it's because of Adam's sin. There's sin in their flesh, and they need to be separated from that flesh. They need Christ in them. Not in their life, they need Christ in them to separate that flesh from the soul and the spirit. You have people who have moved away from the hope of the gospel. They're not interested. They've left. They're not interested. They don't want to hear it anymore. We have people who have corrupt minds. We have people that have been so educated that you can't tell them anything. You can't understand the simplicity that is in Christ, which to me also means simplicity of this King James rightly divided Bible. That our young kids here can understand this stuff as well. We know that we have all been under corrupt communication for years. Part of the issue I want to talk about when it comes to modesty on part three is the fact that there has been a corrupt communication revolution in my generation. So we think the way we do to think, we think today the way we think is already corrupt and dirty. People didn't used to think that when they would see what they would see. So there's corrupted communication. There's corruptness. The old man is corrupt, always has been, always will be. And we know that people have been stirred up against the Scriptures by corrupting the Scriptures. And then lastly, we know that people have a carnal mind. They're fleshly oriented, and they're headed for the tribulation. And it's going to seem so good to them when it comes. Because it's going to make their flesh feel good. That's why we have such a hard time talking to people. Just be thankful that somehow you heard. You heard the rightly dividing stuff about a King James Bible. Go back in your life and look through the process. You know, What's the process that you finally come to this point? And are you banging your head against the wall now because now it's time to make some changes? Or you're making some changes. You're ready to give up and quit because people are watching you like a hawk. And our own brethren are looking for our halting, as Jeremiah was taught. So that's why it's such a hard time. I mean, they're just not going to go, hey, that sounds exciting. Everything in the world is working against that person we're trying to witness to. And I believe that's why Paul says, listen, don't tell them anything until you can show them a change. You show them a change in your life, then maybe they'll listen to you. And that was my question last week. What have you changed in your life that people have seen since you got a hold of Paul in a rightly divided Bible? I'd like to think Jason and those three preaching guys, somebody's going to say to them, hey, you changed your posters. You've changed your message. What's happened to you? And maybe just people from their own families or whatever. I don't know. But there you go. There's the, was that 10 of them? Nine things. It's something I didn't put it together. It's nine things in that Bible that talks about our mind and then all the subheadings below that thing. What's going on when we try to witness to people. Just be thankful you saw. And maybe somebody else will see it someday because of what you've seen. Amen.